When it's time to release a new product, introduce a new service, or even just try to change the narrative of your business, maybe it's time to call in your public relations person. There's a new PR person in town. He's joining us this morning to share a bit about his background and his opinions about possible blowback from last year's ski patrol strike and this year's low snowpack's effect on the town of Park City and the ski business here in Park City. We're fortunate to be joined by Peter Breslau, founder and CEO of PBPR. Good morning, Peter. Welcome to Mountain Money.
Good morning, guys.
All right. So what brought you, you're from Philly.
Yes.
What brought you from Philly to Utah, and what made it feel like it was the right move for you in your life and your career?
It's a great question. I'll try to be as brief as I can because it could be a long story if I drag it out. I'm a storyteller. I have a son who's 27, and when he was 4, we were in prep school. And my wife said to me, he's got a 2-week break in March. What the heck are we going to do? I said, daycare? She goes, Park City. The Olympics had just happened here, and she was drinking the Kool-Aid. And I said, I'm in. I've never been to Park City. So we packed up the family. You know, this was before smartphones. We did our research, got on the plane. And when we landed, I looked at these mountains and said, where am I? Like, how did I not know this existed? No one ever really talked to me about Utah in Philadelphia in, you know, that far into my life. And we had the best time. At the time, you could ski the day you land with your lift ticket, and you could ski anywhere. So we, you know, got here, got unpacked, put our skis on, went skiing, had an unbelievable week. And on the way home, she looks at me and says, we should really think about buying something there. Now, we didn't have any money at the time. We could afford prep school, and that's it.
Yeah.
And so for 20 years, I continued to come back here and ski and continued to say we should buy something here. And then the pandemic came. And I, like everyone else, said, I got to get out of here, no matter where you were. And my wife looked at me and said, we got to sell the house. And I said, where are we going? She said, we're going to Park City. Now, I'm not a kept man. This isn't just her decision.
Yeah.
But I looked at her and I said, how are we going to do that? And she said, my wife's an attorney, said I can work from anywhere. My firm is down with it. And I looked at her and said, I got to figure this out. And she said, you're going to figure it out. And like a day later, I said to my team, I think in the next couple of years, I'm going to move somewhere and it might be the Mountain West. And we made it happen. We came shopping during ski season, like so many other people. We got shut out of 5 properties, which were all blessings because they were in a community that I don't want to live in. It has dirt roads, and it would have been on a normal winter, it would have been really challenging with chains on the tires. And I bought 10 acres in Colville, sight unseen on the internet, and then flew out and was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, wonderful. So you grew up in Philly?
Yes.
Good. Patrigino's?
No, I've worked for both, and they're both okay on the fly, jump off the subway on the way to a game.
Yeah.
But Michelin just came to Philly, and they awarded 4 cheesesteak brands recognition in their Bib Gourmand, and I represent one of them. So for me, it's Del Rossi's.
Del Rossi's.
But Angelo's is also really great, and they were on that list. And there was a couple others that are worthwhile. Philly's got a really unbelievable food scene.
Philly sports fan?
100% till the day I die. But I have adopted the Mammoth, and I'm pulling for an NFL team to come to Utah.
We're not going to see an NFL.
I don't think we'll see NFL. I think we'll see MLB.
We'll see MLB.
I'm down with that, too, although I do love my Phillies.
Yeah. So you're new to town, so most listeners don't know you well. How would you describe your background and the path that led you to PBPR, which I assume is Peter Breslau Public Relations?
Yes. So I was really lucky. I take all my blessings very seriously. My mom was a publicist, and I grew up in a household in the 70s in a gritty neighborhood in Philadelphia where mom would come home and said, you kids aren't going outside for a few hours. I need you to stuff these envelopes with press releases. So we cut our tongues, we cut our lips, we cut our fingers. And I didn't really care much about that. I just wanted to get outside to play baseball or hockey or whatever I was going to go do. And in high school, mom opened the Hershey Philadelphia Hotel in Center City, Philadelphia. It also happened to be around the time when the Sixers won the world championship, and there was a parade down Broad Street where the hotel was. And I walked into that hotel on opening day and saw all the news cameras outside. And I said to her, you are a very powerful woman and I want this power. And I thought I was going to be a pro baseball player. I really wanted to be a pro baseball player.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. I mean, I did all the right things. I got to Florida State. I tried. Didn't happen. And I called mom after baseball didn't work out. And I said, can I be your intern this summer? And I came in that summer and I got hooked.
Yeah.
And I didn't join the family business until I became I became successful on my own. So I met some folks that were launching a craft brewery in Philadelphia. It's still around. I just publicized their 40th anniversary. It's called Dock Street. And I spent 7.5 years, my 20s, what was left of my 20s after college, building that company. And when the company was going through some financial issues and I was ready to go, I asked mom to help me with my resume. And she said, I think it's time, you know, you become a publicist. You already are.
Yeah.
So I joined the family business. And shortly thereafter, we got a call from a billion-dollar resort in the construction phase in Atlantic City, New Jersey, to tell us we were their publicists. And that changed my whole path.
So when you were with Dock Street, I can imagine in your 20s, publicist for a brewery,
so
a hookup.
So I was a sales rep more than anything.
Oh, okay.
I was doing PR. I had a boss that joined us from Guinness, and he says to me in his Irish accent, you know, you're a bit of a PR guy. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, you don't take any orders. I said, you're right. I walk in, I get the job done, and I leave. And he said, it's pretty sweet. You don't work for a distributor. You know, we have in the beer business, there's licensing for distribution. So I literally could walk into a place. I was Dock Street Pete, kick the door in, use my powers of persuasion, which now I'll call news media manipulation, and you know, usually get a shot. And if the beer sold, I was in. If it didn't, well, I got us a shot.
Yeah.
And it was for a single guy in his early 20s, it was the time of my life.
Yeah.
So you joined the family business. Is that what became PBPR?
Great question. So I joined, and about 10 years in, mom was going through a midlife. And I walked in one day, and everything had changed, and her, and we had friction. And I said, Mom? In fact, early on in the career, I said to my mom, I can't call you mom in meetings. You're Tina. Tina Breslow. And I said, Tina, I can't do it anymore. She said, what do you mean? I said, you know, this is aggravation. No, I'm not having fun. I'm burnt out. You're going through something. I said, I think it would be best if I maybe just go a different direction. And she blessed it. And I said, could I do one thing on my way out the door? She said, what do you want? I said, can I place a news story about it? Because I had become the face of the company. And we opened a $1 billion casino, and I was very well known at the time. It was 10 years of PR. She said, sure. And I placed the story in the Philadelphia Business Journal, and I'll never forget. I got 5 phone calls, and they were my first 5 clients. And so I started this business with, like, no money, a great deal of experience, a lot of ambition, and I am the ultimate optimist to a fault. But that helped me get started. And, you know, I'm now a realist, more of a realist, I should say. But as you'll see from when we talk about the resorts, I'm an optimist, and I think they all did a really good job this year as a result of what they were dealt from Mother Nature.
And how big is your operation today?
We are 10 people. We represent about 50 brands. We've done a couple projects here in this community. We opened the Bake Shop in Kimball Junction, which has done really well, and I think Paige Courtney's an unbelievable baker. She's an unbelievable story. She was the F&B director at the Venetian for a couple of years. I mean, she's legit. And we do have a bread problem in mountain towns, you know, with oxygen and baking. I know a lot about food. We represent a lot of chefs, 7 James Beard Awards to date. And my wife and I realized early on into living here that baking is a little different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go back to Utah.
Yeah.
What surprised you most about living in Utah so far?
Well, I made a video in late January in my hot tub on my deck with my wife, and I laughed the entire time, and I said, these Utah winters are brutal. And we, you know, we, so we, I think we were in the minority of people who had an amazing winter despite the conditions. Of course, we're here to ski, but we're here for everything. I found it really funny that a few of my friends who live in Old Town said to me, why did you move all the way out to Colville? And when I went skiing at Snow Basin the first time, I was like, I am so glad I'm where I am. I'm centrally located to all these things. I'm here for the region. I love Park City. There's parts of me that wish I was in an Old Town, especially because I'm a very social person. But we love the isolation out there. There's a lot of wildlife. I love the elk and the deer and the eagles that I see a lot of days. I think Utah is exactly what I hoped it would be and more. I find that one of my favorite parts is how friendly and nice everyone is. That's a very different vibe than when I came from. Nobody looks up when they're walking down the street in New York and Philadelphia in the morning. Here, it's good mornings. Yeah. And how are you? And it's just it just feels better. This is where I will be until I'm no longer on this earth.
Well, let's talk about the region. And we've had a couple of rough years. We had a major ski patrol strike last year. We've had the weather this year. I am now going to turn into Jennifer Wesselhoff, the head of the Chamber of Commerce, and call you up and go, okay, we need a PR strategy. I am worried about what's happening to our community in terms of the long-term impacts. Start taking it apart for me. Should I be worried like that?
You should definitely be concerned. The two things to be most concerned about are what's going to happen here with money and commerce during Sundance, because we no longer have it. And I saw the Shaun White announcement this week, mm-hmm. and I was very happy about it. I was kind of hoping for an X Games scenario. I think a lot of people were talking about that. But this is in our DNA. It fits in our lifestyle. I did go to the ski-joring events this year.
Good.
Which, you know, were newish events to the region. I saw a lot of very happy people. It was a lot of fun. There were snow challenges. It was still a ball. And I think that all organizations here and all businesses that make it through the summer, and we should talk about that because there was a big announcement yesterday about Main Street Pizza and Noodle closing. I think that tells me as a publicist, they were hanging on as hard as they could, and that the conditions this year produced less revenue and it was the breaking point. I mean, that's just my assessment. I don't know them. And I'm a little worried for small businesses. I think that's the biggest concern that I would have as a compassionate business owner that helps small businesses both survive and thrive. I'm called in both for crises and for, you know, times of growth. And I do believe that most of the resorts did a phenomenal job this year on social media. And I find that when you're in the resort business, the press calls a lot, and a lot of times those calls are blessings, but a lot of times, especially this year, those calls are daunting. And as a PR person, you ask yourself, how do I respond, or do I even respond? Right now, I would imagine every one of the entities that have marketing and PR teams are in major planning modes for the off-season, the summer, and things, you're going to start to see things really ramp up August, September, when folks start to buy their winter airfares and their winter lodging.
And their winter passes. You know, it's interesting, your comment about that you think they did a good job with the social media this year. I do not think they did a very good job last year. I don't know how much you were following.
I followed it very closely, and it was really wild in hindsight to follow it as an outsider coming to move here. I had compassion for the patrollers. I had compassion for the people standing in line. I said to my wife, if I pulled up at the resort and I saw a line like that, I'm turning around. I love to ski, but I'm not gonna spend all day waiting in lift lines. And look, we're in an, look, I think we have to, I like to, in my, as I turn 60 this year, I've started to use the term with my clients, we need to live in reality. And that is a sign of me being a little less optimistic and a little more grounded in the fact that some of this stuff is very serious. We, you know, jobs are at stake, livelihoods are at stake, resorts' successes are at stake, businesses are at stake. And what I saw last year on social media was an abomination. I believe that most of the resorts had paralysis by analysis, or Park City, I should say, Vail, because they were in a pickle, and they clearly did not know how to handle it, and they did the old, oh, it's going to be fine, we're going to get through this, here's our rationale how we're going to handle it. And these skiers and residents are not stupid. They don't live in a resort like this because they're lucky. They live in a resort like this because either they were born here, or they were smart enough to make enough money to afford to live here. Or they're, you know, lucky enough to be, you know, a member of, you know, they're born in the right family, I should say. So they've got generational wealth. But these folks aren't afraid to speak their mind. They were the skiers and the community here was very vocal last year. It was an us versus them mentality, mm-hmm. as much as I've ever seen it. And the community stuck together.
It's interesting because, like, when we talked about this with some other PR people before, is that you look at how Vail handled that situation. And if they had called you in the middle, right as things were going on, what kinds of things could they have done differently?
It's a really hard answer.
Yeah.
It totally puts me on the spot. I love you for that. I think that I would have probably started with a social media strategy because that's the easiest way in. It's the fastest way in. I know they have the technology. I'm watching the videos. I'm seeing the quality of the productions. And there were some social media things that happened this year that I'm sure everyone saw. Specifically, what happened with consumers in January were posting really bad videos that were getting a lot of shares. It was brown ground and complaining about, you know, why am I here?
Right.
I saw right after that a flurry of Instagram influencer activity that was pretty easy to recognize from someone in the business like myself. And what it looked like they did was they paid money to all of these influencers to come here and say, you know what, it's not that bad. The groomers are doing a great job. The skiing is solid. And it was sort of a tug of war between reality and influencers, or the reality that they present. And it was fascinating to watch for me because I know the truth. So on one side, I'm watching the business side of marketing. And on the other side, I'm watching the reality of survival during one of the toughest years that nature has provided for these amusement parks.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll come back and bite them in the butt? I mean, because you're lying to them, you know, with influencers, and then people come and go, oh, that was a crock. I'm not coming back next year.
People have a very short-term memory.
Okay.
Right now, most of our listeners are focused on the price of gas, the war in Iran, and how their kids are doing in this time in our country's path. We're about to celebrate the semi-quincentennial of the country, and we're at war, and, you know, things are a little messy right now. And I think that that's where a lot of minds are focused. I did find, I saw that the last couple of days I've been hit hard with ski pass solicitations.
Oh, yeah.
Buy them now, save money. And I thought to myself, I'm going to wait, you know, just because that's just my personality or the way I'm wired. My wife came in last night and said, we got to buy our ski passes. So, you know, she's already drinking the Kool-Aid. She's a consumer that's feeling, you know what, we're due. We had two bad years. One was not Mother Nature's fault. It was, you know, business. And we got through it. Granted, there was emotion, there was tears, there was fighting, there was anger. And then we got, you know, probably the worst year we've ever had as far as snow in this market. And in my opinion, as a newcomer to this market, I thought that as disappointed as I was, and as much as I wanted to ski twice or three times as many times as I skied, I really did feel that the resorts did a really good job. And let's not forget, the biggest story in skiing globally coming into this season was Deer Valley's doubling its terrain. The biggest story globally. That is huge. That helped this town this year. Now, those reservations were booked. I'm sure stuff got canceled. It was obvious to me. that town was light a lot of December or January and February, but I understand that the higher end businesses did well. That, you know, business in general was decent, and I don't think they, you know, the resorts probably sold as much swag and food as they wanted to on the mountain this year, but they got through it.
You said something interesting about memories, and one of the questions that I always wonder about when we have this topic about this conversation is what is the half-life of the bad memories from last year? In other words, how much long-term damage do you think last year's debacle did, or people forgotten it, or has been wiped out by the bad ski season? To talk to us about consumer half-life memories.
Yeah, I mean, it's also very segmented, meaning we're all different. One of the things that was interesting to me is that the East Coast ski resorts had a phenomenal season, mm-hmm. the best they've ever had. Do I believe that the folks wanting to ski next season, or that have that same situation that I had where we have a spring break to manage and we've got to go somewhere, are going to roll the dice and go east again this year? I think that they've had too many tough years. You know, Eastern skiing gets such a bad rap because it is challenging. It's a lot of ice. You know, it's a much different vibe. There's very little powder days. I believe that there's a lot of, I'm going to call them sports fans out there, that play the odds. I believe that the infrastructure is here, the reputation is here, and I think that next year might be another challenging year, which is why I believe that these teams should start now. I'm sure they all know that. I'm not telling them something they don't know. But I do believe that if we have an early good start, we could have a really good year again.
Yeah, hopefully we have a great year. Now, I know, so Main Street Pizza Noodles closing, and I know other businesses on Main Street killed it because people weren't on the slopes. They were on Main Street. And yeah, we had JK on for just before St. Patrick's Day telling us how well Flanagan's did. But I'm wondering, I mean, how much of a ski town's success in their season is dependent upon weather, and how much of it depends on the management of the town and the resorts and the messaging?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I remember last year coming into town in the summer and paying $5 an hour for parking and, you know, accepting it. I come from a city where I'd spend 15 or 20 an hour for parking, and, you know, it's a fact of life. You can't fight City Hall. But I remember hearing a lot of locals complaining about it. One thing that's really been obvious to me is in the 20 or so years that I've been coming here to ski, this town has changed from a one-trick pony, winter survival and thriving, to an all-seasons resort. Yeah. Even mud season doesn't feel like mud season. I don't think we're going to have much of a mud season this year. But, you know, the businesses seem to be, I speak to a lot of business owners. I'm introducing myself. I'm a newly minted board member at Live Like Sam, so I'm meeting a lot of people. And business owners that I've met seem optimistic and happy. I'm not feeling doom and gloom, but you don't know what's really going on behind the scenes. I do believe Park City has an amazing reputation as an all-seasons resort. And again, the ultimate optimist to a fault, I do believe we're going to have a decent spring, summer, and I'm optimistic for next year.
You know, as we began this interview, you mentioned the loss of Sundance. And I, for one, believe that the presence of Sundance in some ways has had an adverse impact on Main Street, in the sense that there are businesses who would open who would rent their places out for 10 days, make six digits, and basically finance their whole year and really not be highly productive during the rest of the year. Do you think we're going to see changes because of that? I kind of wondered whether Main Street Pizza Noodle might have been like a harbinger of, you know, one of the kinds of places where, you know, without a Sundance bat boom coming forward, and what kind of businesses do you think might come in to replace them?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I said to my wife in the beginning of Sundance, there's a ton of reservations tonight at Le Depot. Let's go into town, feel the energy, and go have dinner there. We pull up, I got a parking space right out front, and it was branded the Chase Sapphire Lounge. And I looked at her, I said, I know Galen, you should have turned the reservations off, but... But it was probably a gaffe by a manager. Yeah. But I ended up going to Loma instead, and I discovered Loma that night, and I loved it. And I think I'm going tonight after the parade. I know we're taped, so this will be past tense. But I think that I hear what you're saying, and as a newbie to the region, my friends who live here who love the ski say Sundance is amazing. We'll go to a few movies, we'll go to a few things, some parties, but we're gonna ski all week. They don't ski. And so that was a really funny narrative for me. And then I have friends who've come in that week and said, same thing. So I was really excited about Sundance. I didn't really get invited to any parties and I didn't play the games of standing in line for tickets. I'm a working publicist, so I had other priorities. But I did sort of follow it very carefully and I'm sad that it's not gonna be here, at least I was until you said that. And I'm excited to see what happens with its departure, especially if there are feelings in this market that it may not have been that great for us.
Yeah. So we just spent a few minutes with Peter Breslow of Peter Breslow Public Relations. Peter, thank you so much for your insight and joining us this morning.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate being on the show and I listen all the time. And it's just I'm tickled pink from being here.
And Peter Breslow Public Relations is a sponsor of KPCW. So stay with us. We'll be right back.